Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of St. John, the first 10 verses. Jesus uses an image familiar to the people of his day to make a point about spiritual leadership. Those who listen to Jesus are led to abundant life. And so Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the safest gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus uses this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you call a minister? And I'm not trying to be funny here, but what title do you give to a person who is a minister? Many people will refer to me, for example, as Reverend John Orwig. But I've always disliked that because I've told them most people in the congregation are much more reverent than I am. And reverent really is an adverb that sort of says how we are. I know some churches, they'll even talk about the most reverent. I like to use that jokingly sometimes when I answer the phone to let people know who's there. But truthfully, the term we use in the Lutheran church is, I think, much more appropriate, and that is pastor. Pastor comes from the word pastoral, and it just stands for shepherd, or it means shepherd. When a person is ordained into the ministry of the church, then they become a pastor. Sheep are very interesting people, as I've served for many years as a pastor. When I was in Newcastle, I decided that we would raise sheep, so we bought 12 ewes and one ram. And one day, they suddenly disappeared. We'd sheared them the day before, and so they could get through the fence where they couldn't before. And the following day, I was planning on flying to Salt Lake City for a gardening seminar with a couple in the congregation, and he had his own plane. And so I called him up and I said, "I can't go with you because I got $1,200 invested in these sheep and they're gone. I don't know where they are." And the wife said, she said, "Well, just put an ad on the radio, say that you've lost your sheep." I said, "Sure. Pastor Orwig has lost his sheep. If you know where they are, let him know." "I don't think I'm going to do that." Well, the following day, here they are at the gate, ready to left in, and we were able to go to this seminar that we were going to. In the Confession of Sins, you will note, or I don't know if you have, I say, as a called ordained minister by the Church of Christ and by God's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is really the high point or the beginning of our worship. It's after that we have the singing of the first hymn. But here God says to you, your sins are forgiven. However you've blown it this past week, don't worry about it, they're forgiven. And when you hear these words, it's not John Orwig, but you're to hear God is using John Orwig's voice, or whoever the pastor is, to declare to you, your sins are forgiven. I think this is really something very fantastic, and it's part of the task that God has given a person as pastor, whether it be me who is filling in at this point, or Larry who is our intentional interim here at St. Luke's and the UCC Church. The task of the pastor is to proclaim the gospel and to administer the sacraments. And we consider that a very special thing. So let's go on to the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep. Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, I want you to take the picture here of Palestine. A pastor would lead his, or pastor shepherd would lead his people out, the flock out. He would take them to green pastures. He would take them to still waters, because moving water scared sheep, and they were afraid of that. He'd take them to the places they need. At night, he would take them to an enclosure of some kind. It might be a cave, or it might be a corral of some kind that is a secure corral. It's not something that can go through the sides of it. And he would sleep in the front at the gate where you could come in. That way, the shepherd would keep any animals or any people or anyone else from coming in, because he was protecting his sheep. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here, where we see that he is the door. It says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, in some villages, they might have several flocks of sheep that would come in to here, and so they would, some shepherd would sleep there to protect all of them. And so they'd be all mixed up. But when the shepherd left with his flock, he'd call them. And I'm guessing he probably would call them by name. I bet he named them. I think it would be interesting to know what the names of some of them were. You know, as some of us have named different animals we might have had, especially if you're a farmer or a rancher. But anyway, he would call them by name, and they would follow him. They know him. They know his voice. And that's what's really important here. So Jesus here is really saying he's the entrance to the church, to the kingdom of God, to heaven. And then in verse 11, which really wasn't part of our text for today, but it's an important one, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." That's what Easter is all about, is it not? The good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. He says he wants to protect us. And so he is there, and we could not do it, and so he did it for us. Jesus is also the only door. People will say, "Well, there's a lot of religions, and they're mostly good, so can I be saved through another religion?" Well, John 14:6, I believe, answers that, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, we know that in looking at shepherds, that there are false teachers and thieves and robbers, and we want to be aware of them. In Acts 20, Paul says, "I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And in Romans 16, Paul says, "For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the simple." One of the things that really made me not want to become a pastor is, as I looked at it as a youth, and say, to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church, you have 4 years of college and 4 years of seminary. That's 8 years of your life. And I'm like, why should I have to go through that? Why can't I just become a pastor? I interned in Oaks, Oklahoma, which is the Bible Belt. And there, many people just say, "I'm going to become a pastor," and they might even have a little church, and then they start preaching, and that's how it goes. And the joke down there was the pastor was always running away, either with the organist or the choir director. And I thought it was just a joke until I found that was really the truth. That happened a lot down there. And I became aware of the importance of the training that we require for our pastors in the Lutheran Church. And so I'm sure the call committee that we have set up is aware of that also, that we have stringent requirements, both theological and psychologically, for someone to become a pastor. And that's why we very seldom have this kind of, it does happen, but this kind of thing happening in our denomination. We stress the importance of various things that is guarded by the seminary community, and also each synod. When I was in South Dakota Synod, I was on the committee that we walked through with the candidates for ministry, and we talked to them about it. And sometimes we'd say, you know, maybe you should think about something else. In some cases, they were acquiring too much of a debt load. We said, you'll never be able to pay that off as a pastor. And so I think this is something that is very important in what we do as a denomination. Now, Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd, and he calls his sheep by name. I want you to think about that verse. I think that's one of the high points of my sermon this morning. I know when I serve communion, there are pastors who will name every person as they give them the elements. And I have tried that, and I fail, and so I don't do that. I can't remember. I mean, Julie could come up here, and I'd forget her name, you know, or my wife, you know, and that's very embarrassing. So I'm not good at that. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, says he knows your name. Think about how important that is and how significant you are of the millions of Christians in this world, both past and present. God knows your name. Isn't that fantastic? And he puts us in a fellowship like the sheepfold, where we are safe there. And he leads us out and he leads us back. And I think Psalm 23 speaks so eloquently of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me by the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we think about death during this Corona stuff. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God gives us life both now and in eternity. And so this disease that some people are so afraid of, I think we need to say, do we trust in God? Do we really believe that I'm his both now and in eternity? And I'm not saying that you should be careless then in what you do, but I'm just saying this is the security we have in our Christian faith. And we do not need to be afraid of whatever will happen. Jesus says, I give them eternal life in John 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And then we want to talk about the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd. We know there are false shepherds out there, and the devil certainly works in that way. But we've learned that we hear his voice. We know the voice of Jesus. And you might say, how do I hear God's voice? Well, we hear it in the encouragement of the gospel. Luther said in one place, he said, a pastor is more beautiful than the stars in the sky. And you look at me and say, well, you could lose a few pounds, Pastor John. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the pastor is beautiful because the pastor proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. That's what makes a pastor beautiful. We hear the words of Jesus as we read the Ten Commandments that we are called on to strive to follow, or the Beatitudes that we have in Matthew. This is how we hear the voice of Jesus. And we hear Jesus saying, I love you. And we hear the voice of Jesus through each other. And that's the congregation as we gather together, and something that we have missed very much here. I was thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who some of you may know as a Lutheran pastor who was hung by the Nazis just before his prison camp was liberated. And in his book, Life Together, he says, the person who is in prison, the person who is in a far country, they yearn for the fellowship of other Christians. And that's something that I have yearned for as we have gone through this time of not gathering together in worship. I had another thought and I forgot it, so we will move on from there. So we follow Jesus in faith by believing. And by believing, we learn to believe through study. We're made God's children in baptism, through our devotions, especially those neat devotions that Pastor Larry prepares for us every month. We follow Jesus in Christ-like living. And 1 Peter talks about that as he says, we have strayed like sheep, but Jesus is our example, and we follow in his footsteps. May God be with us and bless us and guide us in this week and the weeks ahead as we seek to follow him and listen to his word. Amen. We will continue with the next hymn, which if you have a hymnal, it's 697. And it's Just a Closer Walk with Thee. For those of you that don't have hymnals, there's a refrain that I'm sure all of you know. And then after each refrain, we sing a verse. And if you don't know the verse, then just listen as I sing it. And then join again as we do the refrain. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, that in Jesus is my plea.
We will continue with the prayers of the church. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Shepherding God, we thank you for the educational ministries of your church. Enrich the work of teachers, professors, mentors, advisors, and faculty at colleges, seminaries, and learning sites. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating God, we praise you for those who maintain and operate farm equipment, for those who plant and harvest crops, for local farmers markets, and for all those involved in agriculture of any kind. We think also of those who work in the processing plants that process the food that comes to our tables. Strengthen their hands as they feed the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guiding God, no one should be in want. Bid the nations to return to your paths of righteousness and inspire our leaders to walk in your ways so that all may have the opportunity to live abundantly and sustainably. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comforting God, you carry us tenderly. We pray for those who walk through dark valleys overshadowed by anxiety and overwhelmed with suffering, especially those that we name before you at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nurturing God, you desire justice for the hungry, blessed advocacy work, food pantries, feeding ministries in our congregations. May none of our neighbors lack for basic needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts of your Holy Spirit, O God. Grant a double measure of your Spirit to our joint call committee, Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peg of Yerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Bless also our church council with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, your beloved, have heard your voice. You have called us by name. You've guided us to your side in death. We thank you for the lives of the faithful witnesses, both those with us now and those that have gone before us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name. The night which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in the remembrance of me." Let's together pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good, as you share his body and blood at this time. Now may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you, now and forever. Amen. The last hymn is 677 in your hymnal, if you have it. And it is "This Little Light of Mine." And we're doing all three verses. And if you get the first light, well, the first line is "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." You've got the whole verse. So, "This Little Light of Mine."
Everywhere I go,